This is the voice of Carnage, and you are listening to Carnage Cast.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 10 of Carnage Cast. This week on Interview with the Gamer, we talk with Angela Hero of TotalCon about all the fun that's going to be happening at Total Confusion in 2012. Then Autopsy of a Game gets involved with the Resistance, a neat little game about loyalty and ferreting out spies. If you want to catch some Carnage folks on the road, you might find some at Unity Games, a one-day board game extravaganza in Woburn, Massachusetts on February 4th. That same weekend sees TempleCon in Warwick, Rhode Island, February 3rd through the 5th. Pick your poison and play some games. Now, let's go to Interview with the Gamer.
Now, Interview with the Gamer.
Hi everyone, welcome to Interview with the Gamer. This week we're talking with Angela Hero, the media director for TotalCon. Hi Angela, how are you?
Very good, thank you very much, Ella.
So TotalCon's coming up pretty soon. What exactly is it?
TotalCon is a gaming convention that's held every year in February in Massachusetts. This year we're going to be held the 23rd through the 26th in Mansfield, Massachusetts at the Holiday Inn.
Cool. Now, what is going to go on at a TotalCon, aside from the total confusion in the name?
What happens at TotalCon is a lot of gaming. We feature role-playing games, miniature games, board games, card games. We have a special young player track. There's even some video games. We've started now with panels. We have movie premieres and other fun happenings. Like this year, we're going to have Cube of Death, which is actually going to be a game show with our industry guests, answering questions, and actually participants get to join their favorite industry guests on their teams to help them win.
I didn't realize there was going to be a game show. Can you go a little more into how that's going to work and what the fun is?
This is the first time it's ever going to happen at TotalCon, and what I believe is going to happen is it's almost going to be like a panel show with our different industry guests. They will have participants come in and be on their teams. They're going to be asked questions on everything geek, gaming, movies, anything that has to do with gaming and fandom stuff. And we're going to see who comes out on top, who has the smartest team and knows the most geek stuff out there.
Well, that sounds like a good time. And so people are going to partner up with the luminaries in the industry?
Yes, they will.
Nice.
That's all part of the plan. It's going to be held on Friday and Saturday evening. Friday night is going to be the preliminary rounds, and Saturday night is going to determine the winner.
Okay, so it's something to keep people busy all weekend.
Yes.
And who's hosting that?
Peter Bryant is the host, and his industry guests include Tim Kask, Frank Mentzer, Mark Edwards, James Carpio, Jay Libby, and others. I'm not sure the full list yet, but I know that those are highlighted industry guests that will be joining this game show.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tim Kask and Frank Mentzer are from back in the days of TSR, right?
Yes, they are. I believe Tim was the second person ever hired at TSR, and he was hired to be Gary's editor, and eventually he started Dragon Magazine. And Frank was an employee at TSR in the early days, starting in 1980, and he eventually started the Role-Playing Gaming Association, and that's just the beginning of their credits.
Yes, and I've seen them more around the New England scene. They've been very popular, I noticed.
Oh, absolutely. They come in, their games are always oversold, and what's really neat is they always drag over an extra table and add more players whenever possible.
Well, that's very accommodating.
Yeah, they absolutely love the game, and they love to entertain folks.
And who else do you have in that lineup? There was heard Mark Edwards. He's a big 7th Sea GM, right?
Yes, he is. And right now he's working on his Adventures in Alamaria. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. And he's actually doing premieres of the second year right at Total Confusion.
Oh,
starting year two.
So it's like an ongoing campaign sort of thing.
Yes, it is.
And then there was Jay Libby, who does a lot of Fusion-related stuff.
Yes, he does. He's co-founder of Dilly Green Bean Games and Indie RPGA co-founder. This year, he What is he bringing in? G-Core, the superhero role-playing game. Mm-hmm. People have had a lot of fun with that. He's done his G.I. Joes and a bunch of other really cool out-of-the-box games. His popularity has been growing every time he comes.
Cool. It sounds like an underground movement.
Yes. Yep. We're very happy to have him. He's also an artist for the Cyberpunk version 3 line and does a lot of digital media. Mm-hmm. He's a very cool guy.
Yep. And then James Carpio of Chapter 13 Press, who's been on Cartridge Cast himself, actually.
Yes. Yep. He's a wonderful guy. Last year, he did Tales from the Funk.
Yes. Was
absolutely amazing. People had a great, great time. I think this year he's working on his Spooky Beans game.
Yeah, that's will have been out or is coming out soon, I think. He was pretty happy about that one.
Yep.
Well, that's just a game show on Friday and Saturday night. These guys are all going to be running games, I think, right?
Yes, all weekend long. And we have other industry guests running games as well.
Right.
But not only that, that's just the role-playing stuff. We have guys coming in for the board games. We have Tom Vassell and Eric Summerer from the Dice Tower coming back. This year it's going to be fun. They're running Wits and Wagers for us. And Tom Vassell will be doing... I think it's Quarry Tournament. Quarriers,
right.
Yes, yep. He'll be running that as well. So they come in, and they're actually running a bunch of different board games for us, and they do young player stuff, too. They're really a very cool bunch of guys. Last year, they actually did their 200th episode at Total Confusion, so we're very proud of that.
Oh, wow. Now, you mentioned young players earlier. You have a special track for them?
Yes, we do. It's a whole gaming track set up just for them. It's run by Bruce Hiru, who's actually a middle school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He actually lets other kids help run games for kids. Because sometimes it's easier for kids to talk to kids.
Right.
On their level. And the two biggest things they have is the clay tournament. He also awards them a special kids overall champion. You know, he keeps track of the different games that kids have won, and he, you know, gives out prizes, so the kids get to enjoy the whole flavor of the board game area as well.
Mm-hmm. And the clay tournament, is that the clay warrior game?
Yeah,
that's, I've seen that around a lot. Kids love to build their monster, get some special power for it, and then smash everything around.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rob Crusher runs our board game area, does a fantastic job. He actually travels to the different board game events all year long, and he has set us up with 10 games, the New England Regionals, and this year they're going to be Seven Wonders, Alhambra, Dominion, Eminent Domain, Power Grid, RA, Stone Age, Southern Texas, and two others I cannot pronounce.
Okay. Are they German?
Yes.
Yeah.
One is EGIZIA.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, and the other one is YSPAHAN. And I don't know how to pronounce those. What it is they actually go and see which are the most popular games at different events in Ensign and stuff like that, and those help determine which ones are going to be in our event.
Right. So is this event is a regional qualifier?
No, the actual New England Regional Championships.
So this is the championship for New England?
Yes.
In these new or popular games?
Yeah.
Okay,
They take games that were very popular from last year, and they reserve two spots for games that have proved themselves from Origins, the WBC, or Ensign, that were top played games.
Mm-hmm.
That determines it. We also have the North American Catan Championship pre-qualifier. That is a pre-qualifier, and the winner of that event actually goes to Gen Con to compete at the next level.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So you're the gateway to the Gen Con competition.
Yes. The winner of ours gets an actual seat at the North American Catan Championship to be held at Gen Con 2012. And we've had that for the last 2 years.
This regional championship, does that tie into or work alongside your chairman of the board?
Chairman of the board is completely separate. That's TotalCon's own award for the best overall board game player.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that plays games, and they're listed in our books, which games qualify, and they get scores for first, second, and third place. And according to that, they keep a running tally all weekend long, and the top person that comes out with the highest score receives the Chairman of the Board Award.
Is that a coveted title?
Yes. Yes, we have several people that come in and actually compete against each other every year.
Like they're all playing games together, or they're all working to maximize their scores for that title?
They actually compete against each other. And, some of them actually will work to try to maximize scores and stuff, but they're actually a nice group of guys that sit there and they want to play against each other and prove themselves.
Okay, there we go. Battle of equals then. Cool. And so sort of that TotalCon has a lot of that sort of organized play going on. Like I know you have your own in-house living campaign as well for role players.
Yes, we have TC Realms, which is Total Confusion Realms, that's been running for over 10 years now, continuous, with the premieres coming at TotalCon. But we also bring it to other events in the New England area. We offer TC Realms at OGC in July. I think it's June or July, up in New Hampshire. We run it at Carnage. Sometimes we run it at Council of Five Nations out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We try to support as many events as we can, and the players come out and enjoy the games very much. And we have several different writers that offer the games for them, and they write sci-fi, fantasy. They also have one for kids, TC Realms for kids, and I know there's a horror one as well, and the different GMs write the games for us and play them throughout the New England area.
Wow, I didn't realize you guys covered that many genres. I thought it was all fantasy.
Right now it seems to be focusing, but yes, it actually does cover all those areas. We have a whole TC Realms primer with the rules and the settings, and people are able, just almost very similar to the RPGA,
mm-hmm.
where you're able to get money and change it in for goods and spells and everything else, and we actually set up a DC Realms headquarters where people can update their characters right on site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that way they can carry their character from convention to convention, right?
Yes.
With all this talk of edition change lately, where is TC Realms standing in terms of system they're using?
TC Realms right now is standing at 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they talked amongst the writers and the players, and they all agreed that right now that's the system that they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see once 5 comes out if anything changes, but right now they're happy with what they have and the rule system that they're using.
It works for them, and that's good enough.
Yes.
I can totally get behind that sentiment.
Yep.
And of course, there's plenty of TC Realms at TotalCon, but you also have a wide variety of other RPGs. I know you have, in addition to all the other people we talked about earlier, there's also Andre Kupa, for example, who's big on the Cthulhu.
Yes, he's a wonderful, he's one of our industry guests. He offers Call of Cthulhu, but he does it theatrical style. He has a complete room unto himself. He sets it up, the whole scene with lighting, props, music, sometimes smog and everything. His games are always sold out. Absolutely phenomenal. We have a full RPGA section. It's one of the largest in the New England area. We usually have the Battle Interactives premiere.
Mm-hmm.
They actually premiered another one, but as far as New England goes, we usually are the first one to be able to offer the Battle Interactive. Same thing with Pathfinder. We have a very active Pathfinder area,
mm-hmm.
and last year we also got the Battle Interactives for that. A lot of fun. And another fun thing we have this year for role players is the Iron GM competition.
Right.
That this is our second year having it, and what it is they allow up to 10 GMs to sign up and register. And right on the spot, they are given 3 key ingredients that they have to incorporate into their role-playing game. Then they're given like an hour to create their event, and that's it. The players, they're allowed 6 players per table come in. Them too. They're given certain elements that they have to use to build their character around, given an hour to create it. That's it. Then they go. And then what happens is the players actually rate their GMs.
Mm-hmm.
And based on those ratings, a GM will come out the victor for having created the best game in a very short amount of time. And along the way, they have fun. They let the players do like a dragon call competition to see who can have the best dragon call. the guys dress up, the moderators come in full costumes, they pelt dice at each other. Anytime anybody gets a natural D20, they yell, they shout bonsai, they get necklaces, little dice necklaces and everything. And the winner of the GM competition actually gets a free trip to Gen Con, mm-hmm. everything included, travel, lodging, what have you, to compete for the national, actually it's world title of INGM that's held every year at Gen Con.
Wow.
Because they're getting players from all over the place, so you're guaranteed a seat, along with other swag and cool prizes. Last year, it was very well reviewed. Absolutely loved it. The guys are coming back. We're very excited.
So it's a crowd-pleasing event in that the GM's catering to the players as much as they are working to include all these ingredients they've been given.
Yes. Yep, and they're allowed to bring in props and other aids to help them along on their journey. It's used primarily with 3.5 mm-hmm. rule system, but they're willing to work with anybody if you have a different rule system that you prefer.
Right. But that sort of gives a common ground for everybody to start from.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And if this all sounds like a lot to pack into 3 days, I believe TotalCon's actually a 4-day convention, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So you take advantage of that long weekend.
It works out very well as far as Massachusetts go because it's on vacation week.
Mm-hmm.
So people are able to get in on the Thursday usually. And we actually start in the morning. The first slot is pre-reg only. If you want to come and start as early as possible, we suggest you pre-reg.
Okay.
Highly suggest you pre-reg.
All right. That's definitely a wise idea. How does one go about pre-regging? What's the timeline on that?
Pre-reg is scheduled to open any day now. Our webmaster is feverishly working to make sure that every game has been entered correctly. And once it does, it usually goes up to a week before the convention. You can register online with PayPal, or you can download the form and mail it to us.
So that's about February 16th that people need to get their paperwork in.
Yeah.
Okay. That's plenty of time. They can go on the website, find out what they want. And where exactly do people go to find out what's getting played?
Usually right on the website, www.totalcon.com. On the very front page, as soon as events open up, we put a link right on the very first page.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go further into the website, if you go to the different departments, you'll see just board games listed with the board game department and miniatures listed with the miniature department and so on.
Right.
So you can look at everything, or you can look just specifically at the games that you want to play the most.
Oh, that's a good way to narrow it down. You have the website, but I think TotalCon's also active in other areas of the web. If people are into the social media, can they find you in those spheres?
Yes, we actually run an active Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We have a Yahoo group, and we go from there.
Okay.
Make as many announcements as we possibly can and give the folks what they want.
And what's your Twitter handle?
It is TotalCon.
At TotalCon. Easy
yep.
to remember. All right, so how long have you been with TotalCon?
I have been with TotalCon, I think this is going on my 6th year.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did a couple of years before that behind the scenes, just editing TC Realms and helping with databases and stuff like that. And then I joined on full-time to be the media director.
Okay. And what does a media director direct?
I do direct the various media. I create and distribute flyers, mailers, postcards. I maintain the Facebook, the Twitter, the Yahoo group. I maintain the website now. I handle all the industry guests. I contact them to see if they want to come out. I book their travel, their hotel. I also do the exhibit hall and any vendors that come in.
Mm-hmm. All right, you have an exhibition hall.
Yes, we have a fully booked dealer hall right now at this point. And we also have exhibitors that come in and are just lined up in the main hallway. These are people that are just coming in to showcase their new products.
Mm-hmm.
This year we have a couple of different groups coming in that we're excited about, like Merrimack Games is coming in to promote their new games. This year we're being sponsored by Eagle and Griffin Games, fully
mm-hmm.
co-sponsored. They're going to be in the hall. They're going to be showcasing their games as well. So I think people have some things to be excited about.
Sounds like it. It sounds like you're basically out there talking to a lot of people, finding out who wants to come and convincing other people to come. Yeah. Where, how do you go about that?
Usually it's through networking.
Mm-hmm.
I've met people at other events. Now I travel out to Gen Con every year, and wonderful things, like Frank Mentzer actually introduced me to Ed Greenwood. I mean, you know, it was really kind of intimidating at first.
Yeah.
But through them, this year we had hoped to have James Ward out. Unfortunately, he got ill. But as we meet more and more industry guest stars and they enjoy being at TotalCon, they have helped get us in contact with newer ones. And sometimes it's just a matter of, hey, this guy looks really cool, and contacting them. And now, like I said, that we've grown, we have other people coming out. We have a couple of industry guest stars that have actually contacted us to come on board, which is very nice. Gary Asselford is one from 38 Studios who's mm-hmm. asked to come be with us. We have a new guy, David Miller. He's a science fiction and fantasy illustrator. Very excited to have him. And Lauren Green, who's the producer of Going Cardboard, a board game documentary. She's coming in. She's going to be screening her new movie. You'll get to meet her. And it's just really nice once you get out there and start meeting people. And, you know, the networking is fantastic. Everybody's really been pretty very cool. I've yet to meet anybody that has been unpleasant. Mm-hmm. We've been very, very fortunate.
Yeah, it sounds like everyone's having a positive experience, and that's paying off and getting more people to come along.
Exactly. I just hope that if there's gamers out there that they would like come and give us a try. Our motto is that we're trying to bring the best in gaming to the heart of New England, and we absolutely mean that, from industry guests to panels to premier gaming. You know, we try to, even though we're not a huge con, we still try to at least give the flavor of the bigger cons right mm-hmm. here, right now, and, you know, everybody's welcome.
All right, so one more time, where should people go for information, and when is TotalCon?
They should go to www.totalcon.com. We are going to be held February 23rd through 26th at the Holiday Inn in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
And that's a bit outside Boston, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
we're only like 20 minutes outside of Boston.
So
and there's actually a train station only 2 miles away from us, and there is shuttle service available for registered guests of the hotel.
Okay. So it's right there on the Eastern Seaboard, convenient to plenty of airports and train stations.
Yes. And really cool, I just have to throw this out there because it's one of my favorites, is that we're also only 30 minutes from Providence, the home of H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year I hope to have little pamphlets with the walking tour available to some of the guests. So I think that's cool, too. But there's other things to do nearby besides just the actual gaming convention.
Right. That's cool. I didn't realize Providence was that close.
Yes.
Well, Angela, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
I hope TotalCon has a great year in 2012.
Thank you very much.
Next, we take you to an autopsy of a game.
Hi, and welcome to Autopsy of a Game. My name is Tyler, and with me today are...
Rod.
Chuck.
And Sarah.
And today we're going to talk about a card game called The Resistance. Rod, you brought this one along, so why don't you start us off?
Well, it's a relatively new game. The Resistance is put out by Indie Boards. It's a card game with a social trader mechanic, kind of like Battlestar Galactica or Shadows over Camelot.
Everyone's on a faction that may or may not be known.
Correct. Well, the premise of the game is you are playing part of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Within the Resistance, there are spies that work for the government that are trying to undermine the Resistance.
Okay.
And basically, that's the premise of the game.
All right, so that's the premise. What are you looking at for gameplay?
Each player will take on the role of either a Resistance member or a spy within the Resistance. It plays 5 to 10 players, so the numbers are skewed towards the Resistance. Like in a 5-player game, you would have 3 Resistance members and 2 spies.
Mm-hmm.
In a 10-player game, it'd be 6 and 4, and everything in between.
Right.
What you're trying to do is complete missions The Resistance go on missions. These missions are non-specific in the game. They are kind of...
abstract?
Abstract, exactly.
The players of the game, some are going to be spies and some are going to be Resistance members. Is this public information or is it a secret as to who's who?
No, it's a secret as to who's who. The spies will know who they are, and we'll get to that later as we get into the rules. The Resistance do not know who the spies are, nor do they know who the other Resistance members are.
Okay.
They believe that everybody sitting at the table will be part of the Resistance. The setup of the game, you have cards, and each player is dealt a card.
Okay.
There are blue Resistance players and red spies, and these are secret.
So these are like identity cards.
These are your identity cards. You're also dealt two cards for voting, yes and a no.
Okay.
And I'll explain the voting when we get to the rules. You're also dealt two mission cards, a pass and a fail.
Okay.
Each mission you will be voting on whether the mission passes or the mission fails. That's the basic tenet of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game is won if the Resistance succeeds three missions. The game is lost if they fail three missions. And the game is also lost if five team vote goes against the Resistance. We will get to that when we get to the rules.
Okay.
So that's the basic setup of the game. The rules are very simple. It's a social game. So you are talking to the other players, trying to convince them that you are Resistance and not traitors.
Okay.
There is a leader, and the leader will pass from player to player. What the leader's job is to assign teams. For each mission, there will be a certain number of team members that need to go on that mission. The leader will assign team members based on how many players there are. Each mission has a certain number of team members. Like in a five-player game, the first mission needs two players.
Right.
Two team members. The second needs three, and so on.
Okay.
He proposes a team. There is a vote on the team by the other members that are sitting at the table. Some people may not want them to go. The traitors know who the traitors are, so they want at least one traitor on a team, usually. But the Resistance is trying to make it so that all Resistance goes on the team.
Okay. Now, are these people going on the teams, are they the players at the table, or are they card characters on cards?
No, they are the players at the table.
Okay.
So if we were sitting here and we were going in first and I was the first leader, I might say Sarah and Chuck are going on the first team. Then there would be a vote amongst all the players as to whether that team is acceptable.
Right.
Now, two things happen, obviously. If the vote passes, then that team goes on the mission. If the vote fails, then the leadership would pass to the next player and another team would be proposed by a new leader.
Okay. And you said that it can only happen like five times before the mission's failed?
That's correct. If it happens five times in a row that a team is not sent on a mission, then the game is lost by the Resistance.
The game's completely over?
The game's completely over.
Oh, okay.
This is a very fast-playing game. It could take 15, 20 minutes, depending on the number of players, up to a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
If it passes, they then go on the mission. They are then use their mission cards. There are two cards, one is a fail and one is a pass, and they secretly play these cards. And then the cards are revealed. They're shuffled, revealed by the leader. If they are all passes, then the mission succeeds, and that's one mission down. If any one fail comes up, the mission is a failure, which means there's been a spy on the team.
Right.
And the mission fails, and that is one failure. And like I said, three successes means a successful mission. Three successful missions, the Resistance wins. Three failed missions, the spies win. And you're only going to go five, so it's like best three out of five.
Okay.
And that's the game, really, in a nutshell. A very simple game. It's been compared to Battlestar Galactica, boiled down to its traitor mechanic.
Right. So there are a lot of cards in this box here. Are they all roll cards for people, or is there other stuff happening in this game? Chuck, what do you got there?
Yeah, these are basically enough cards so that you can have at least 10 people play the game, enough vote cards so that when people vote on the team makeup for the missions, there's enough for that many players, and enough cards so that that you get hand out to the players that you are proposing to go on the missions.
Ah.
And the last ones are just enough cards so that up to the number that are allowed to go on the missions can each secretly put out a success or failure card when it comes down to deciding upon the mission.
Okay, I gotcha. So this really is completely abstracted in the sense of it doesn't even matter what the mission is. It's just a mission.
It's just a mission. And really about finding out who the resistance members are and who are the actual spies in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you go along, you want to discover two people go on a mission and one's a failure. You know that one of those two players either screwed up or there's a spy at the start of in the first mission.
Right.
How do you get the fail card back into your hand without it being obvious that you're the spy?
The fail card and those cards get handed out once the team is chosen for a mission. You hand those cards out, one of each, to each member in the mission.
Okay.
So players do not have those cards in their hands all the time.
Okay.
Right. And then they're split into two piles. You keep the one you're voting, and then discards are put aside, shuffled, and then separated again. Okay. And then the mission cards are given to the leader, shuffled, and revealed.
Okay.
And the heart of the game really is in figuring out who are the spies.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the game, before everyone shuts their eyes, and there's three spies on the mission. They'll all open their eyes and look at each other.
Oh.
So the spies will all know who the other spies are. And then then they'll close their eyes, and then everybody will open their eyes at the same time. And you won't know who did it.
Right. Okay. I've been wondering about that. That's clever.
Similar to, the werewolf game.
Yep.
Or, do you worship Cthulhu, which is another game along that line?
Right. Mafia 7-Up.
Correct. Exactly.
Cool.
It's very much in that line of game, and it's the whole dynamic is just seeing if the resistance members can figure out who is good and who is not.
Mm-hmm.
While the spy members are obviously trying to sabotage what the resistance is doing.
So, Rod and Chuck, you've played this both quite a few times apiece. What does the interaction sound like when everybody's trying to figure out who everybody else is? Are you all sort of badgering each other? Are you just listening for the slip up? Or is it all mentally counting? Well, they went on this mission and somebody failed, ergo.
It's very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best parts of the game. I mean, like in Battlestar Galactica, where Rod's always a Cylon.
Sure.
And, even if he's not, you're pointing it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so in this game, you know, you're always saying, damn, you're a resistance player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you're
a spy.
Or, you know, you're always blaming people for being spies.
So there's a lot of verbal trash talking and distraction.
Yeah.
Well, one of the first games we played, simply because we didn't know exactly how it was going to work, we sent people on a two-player mission, and it failed. And immediately, the other player said, well, we can never send those two on a mission again because we don't know which one's which. And it kind of plays out, and there's a lot of finger-pointing, you're a traitor, you're not, and a lot of vocalizing of who you think and what teams are best to send. And the vote on teams, it can be tough to do. I mean, we've gotten close a couple of times. I've never seen it where five have been gone down.
Mm-hmm.
But it can get kind of contentious, to say the least.
Because the leader position moves around the table, right?
It does. Everyone will get a chance to be a leader at least once.
So that means spies also have the opportunity to send lots of spies out.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, I mean, their spies will be leader as well, and they're obviously trying to send spies on missions.
But the spies also don't want to reveal all their members too soon.
Right.
Because if we played one game the other night where it became obvious at the end to, two of us for a moment, and then finally to the last guy, after a couple of teams got voted down, that just maybe we had four guys that were on the resistance and we needed four members on the team. And the last guy finally chose the right four because there's enough resistance members to always pass the vote if everybody believes the team is good.
Okay.
So
the spies actually revealed themselves a little too soon.
Yeah.
Right.
In that particular game. As we played more games, we found that that spies were voting for missions as well.
Right.
To throw up, to throw the resistance off the track.
Like on that initial two-person mission, a spy would almost never want to send a spy.
Well, a spy might want to send a spy, but the spy that goes on the mission may want to pass that first mission.
Oh, okay.
So that they are not under suspicion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great little game.
Yeah, it's much better if you can get onto a later mission where they have to succeed and they think you're a resistance member and you're a spy,
mm-hmm.
to be able to throw in that failure and make it all fail when they weren't suspecting you at all. They were suspecting, like, Sarah as a spy when she totally wasn't because you set her up.
She is very innocuous to me.
Yes.
And I think she's a spy right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's just watching, observing.
And the other thing is you got to remember that you're only trying to fail 3 out of 5 or succeed 3 out of 5. So you don't need to fail or succeed the first one.
Right.
you can actually lose the first two and still be in it. That's the nice thing about the game. Mm-hmm. So you can set people up for later failure.
But on the other hand, if you do fail the first one and then you can manage to fail the second one, the resistance is actually going to be much harder to succeed at three missions going forward.
Right, because everybody's still open game for a useful agent.
You may know two people that are spies, but there might be a third guy out there.
Correct. The game also comes with, and I just want to point this out, I mean, that's the basic game. That's very simple. Mm-hmm. It also comes with a built-in expansion called The Plot Thickens.
Oh.
And what The Plot Thickens does is it adds cards and roles to the game, where the leader will deal out roles to different players.
Mm-hmm.
And the roles will do different things, like a no-confidence vote, which will give whichever player the leader gives it to the opportunity to say, no, I don't want to send that team if the team passes.
Right.
Or it may be, look at another player's loyalty card.
Okay.
So this adds a whole new dimension to the game, and we didn't play it the first time through, but we did play it the second time through, and the game became much, much more dynamic as you've got people knowing what other people are. Accusations were flying much more readily around the table,
mm-hmm.
Because people had seen other people's loyalty cards. False accusations were made. So
never.
So these cards add spice it up, whether it be you're an opinion maker where you have to vote first,
uh-huh.
whether you're overheard conversation where you must look at a character's card to your right or left, so you will know whether they are resistance or a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can never reveal what you can reveal what you saw, but you can't reveal the card.
Right.
So if I were to look at Chuck's card, I could say he was a traitor, even if he wasn't, to try to throw them off my scent.
Yep. It's because you're a traitor.
Correct.
That is a traitor's action.
Which added a whole new level of complexity. I would suggest playing it just basic first.
Yep.
And then throwing these cards in.
Now, would you say this built-in expansion is a must play, or is it something that's better saved for experienced players who really enjoy it? Or are those advanced cards the best of the game and the core of it?
I think that these are the best of the game, and I wouldn't say it's the core of the game. The core of the game is the traitor mechanic, for sure. These cards add a whole new dimension to the game and a complexity to the game that make it deeper.
Yep.
And make it, in my opinion, a little more fun. But then again, you know, there are people that just really enjoy the base game as it is. So. Right.
Yeah, I don't think that those cards are necessary in any way. But they just add, if you played it four or five times already, yeah. They add in a little bit more complexity. Not even complexity, but
spice.
Just spice. Yeah, there we go. That makes it a better game, just that you can keep playing late into the night.
Okay.
And like I said, when we've played it, we sit down and we play four, five, six games in a row. I mean, players come and go, and they go quick.
Yeah, because it's a fast game to play. So if somebody is wondering if this is the game for them, what sort of games would you compare it to in terms of, well, if you like this, you're probably going to like this as well?
Well, it's obviously very comparable to, like, Werewolf.
Sure.
Or similar games. It's actually a game that you could easily play with non-gamers. It's mm-hmm. a social game. The mechanics are very simple, but it's enough of a whole conflict between the spies and the loyalists, or whatever, the resistance members, that you keep the people's attention long enough. So even real hardcore gamers can have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore gamers tend to strategize the game a little more than it almost needs to be.
Too much.
But non-gamers or casual gamers, I think, would really enjoy this game as it is a social game. It's almost a party game.
Right.
It's something to, you know, an icebreaker, something to bring people to the table to socialize and to enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm. And with the lack of a board and a need for a tableau or anything like that, you could play around a coffee table with drinks.
Absolutely. A very, very beer and pretzels type game. It's light. And I think it's just a wonderful party game, social game that people from non-gamers to the hardcore gamers would enjoy.
Okay. Sarah, would you try this game?
No.
Thank you. That has been Sarah. All right. So who makes this game and where could people find it if they wanted to check it out?
The game is made by a game company called Indie Boards. It's readily available in most game stores. We picked it up at our local game store. It's relatively inexpensive, $20 or under, depending on where you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very accessible game at this time.
It sounds like you get your bang for your buck and the variation available in playing the game.
Oh, absolutely. Well worth the price of admission, as someone said earlier that was playing the game. You buy the game and you can sit down with friends and play a bunch of games of it and really enjoy it. Really have a good time.
Cool. Sarah, Chuck, Rod, thanks for sitting down and talking about the Resistance.
You're welcome.
No problem.
You've been listening to Carnage Cast, a production of NNEG LLC. All rights reserved. For more information, visit us at www.carnagecon.com.
I will
break the limit
within the gymnasium using my book, Exercise.